Welcome to the latest edition of the Original 11, the official podcast of Princeton Tiger football. I'm your host, Craig Saxton, and thank you for joining us again. On today's show, we will have Jesper Horsted, a junior wide receiver who had quite an impressive debut last weekend, a 12-catch effort in the win over San Diego. We will have Cody Crucial to do a little past, present, future Princeton Tiger football. We'll talk about that during our second segment. And then we will have Steve Thomas, the inside linebackers coach and special teams coordinator, to look at both of those positions from last weekend and then a little bit on the Lafayette offense before Saturday night's game. A couple quick tidbits. You can subscribe to the Princeton Podcast Network by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You'll get weekly editions of the Original 11, TigerCast, LaxCast, any post-game audio that is uploaded. You'll get those all delivered directly to your phone. Again, searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. In the past, we've used this open to kind of talk about previous games. We're going to save those now during the season for that second segment with Cody Crucial. But certainly, it was a fun opener for the Tigers. Good to get a win. Now they head to Lafayette Saturday night. That's a game you can listen to on the TuneIn app or on WPRB 103.3 FM. Game will be streamed live on the Lafayette Sports Network and the Patriot League Network. That's a free stream. There's also in the kind of local area to Lafayette, which does extend into New Jersey, you can check your local listings for the LSN network. You may get the game there. So a lot to look forward to. We'll get right to our show, opening with, you know, really one of the standout performers from last weekend, Jesper Horsted. Somebody who came in with a lot of buzz for Princeton football. And ironically enough, during his freshman year, the team he made the biggest impact for was Princeton baseball. Had a preseason illness that really impacted his freshman year. And then he goes out and has an all-Ivy season for the baseball team, leads them to the NCAA tournament. Last year, started to really get his footing for the football team, which had a bunch of senior receivers anyway, but he broke in, certainly second half of the season, had an all-Ivy year, helped them win that title, and then last weekend, 12 catches, over 100 yards, most catches any Princeton receiver has ever had at Princeton Stadium, now in its 20th season. So, really impressive start for him, and looking forward to see how this offense grows, you know, moving forward starting Saturday night. Let's hear now from Jesper Horsted. Jesper, obviously there's plenty to talk about from Saturday's game over San Diego, but, you know, you've had such an interesting first half of your Princeton career being a two-sport athlete. And, you know, I think the challenges of doing one sport, you know, and succeeding in school here is difficult. What's it like for you schedule-wise? I mean, how long did it take you to kind of figure out how to balance all the demands you have, you know, and still kind of have a few moments to socialize?
It definitely took a period in the fall to just adjust to what the schedule is like at a Division I sport with a rigorous academic schedule. So I think that my hardest learning curve was actually just when I came here and was only focusing on one sport because I just wasn't used to that kind of time demand before. But kind of once I got that down, I was able to just kind of focus on the in-season sport and then let the off seasons that are like in between the two seasons kind of be the spot where I overlap my training. So maybe I'll try to do baseball like once a week during the football season and try to do some football stuff once a week during the baseball season. But for me, like, if I want to have a little bit of social free time and want to try to keep myself sane during, you know, the busy schedule I have, I kind of have to just focus on the one that is pertinent and right in front of me and in season. So I think like that makes for a very busy year-round schedule, because even my short off season in the winter when neither sport are playing games, I am like doing both. But, you know, it keeps it so it's never completely out of control, and I always, you know, it's pretty balanced. I've never found it to be too difficult by doing it that way at all.
You know, your freshman year football wise, you know, everything is brand new. And I think you had, did you have a preseason issue that kind of really held you back from the start. When you got to baseball at that point, did you kind of just assume that, it might be similar that, you know, your freshman year you'd be spent kind of learning and adjusting to the college game. Were you surprised at kind of how quickly and what a big impact you were able to make that year leading Princeton to an Ivy title?
I definitely didn't come into the baseball season expecting to have a major impact. You know, I come from a pretty low caliber baseball school, I would say, and I just expected to get taught some new fundamentals and techniques and then hope to later help out the team. But that being said, like, help any way they needed help. And I don't know, like, one thing led to another, and I started off the preseason pretty hot in the few appearances I got in the games that we were down by a lot. And I don't know, things just kind of dogpiled, and baseball is a really streaky sport, so I think I got hot at the right time to earn myself a spot by the time Ivy season rolled around. And yeah, the ball just kind of kept rolling, but I certainly didn't come into the baseball season expecting to have a major impact.
Last year in football, obviously, you really kind of grew into an impact receiver, especially the second half of that season when this team really started to make its move. Could you feel something that maybe you felt during that baseball season when a team just collectively has that look? And it really seemed like this team, you know, I mean, it played well in the Harvard game, but from then on, really a dominant field. Was there anything similar that you felt during that baseball season you felt last fall?
Yeah, definitely. I think in both seasons, there was kind of just a point. I don't know the definite point that it was, but I was just like, this is a very good team, and I will be surprised if we don't win the title. I'm not usually one to make like bold claims like that. And I never said it out loud, but in my head, I just thought like, wow, this team is clicking on all cylinders. And it's kind of like the point where the seniors all just kind of really decide that this is like extremely important to them, and they just start approaching it with like a certain tenacity, and it just trickles down so quickly after that. So I think, if I had to put a finger on it, it's probably after the Harvard game that people were just like, you know, this is a feasible possibility, and this is our last time playing football for most of us, so we just need to, you know, bear down and finish this season out as best we can. And I don't know exactly when it was for baseball season, but there's definitely like a point, and it comes from the top down, I think.
You know, when people looked at this football team, you know, as compared to the 16, I mean, there were a lot of positions where there was a lot of experience returning, and then there's the wide receiver position where three seniors plus Scott Carpenter graduated, and you had to know at that point that you were going to be a big part of the passing game. Obviously, there were going to have to be a couple new guys, and we certainly saw them on Saturday. But, you know, how much responsibility did you take on yourself in the offseason to kind of prepare yourself to go from, you know, an important piece to maybe kind of the leading piece of this core?
You know, yeah, it was definitely time that I knew I had to step up at the end of the last year. Isaiah came up to me, I remember him saying, like, you know, you're kind of next in line here. I hope you're ready for that, and you need to step up. And that was kind of a realization moment that, you know, I needed to fix my struggles I had with the playbook. I think the first 2 years, I had some major problems just getting the speed of the game. I mean, I was a huddle team in high school, so quarterback basically told me what to do, and I ran down the line of scrimmage and were running, like, one play every 45 seconds, whereas here, it's just so rapid. And I think it took 2 years for me, but I really got my playbook more this offseason, this baseball season, this summer than I had previously. And I knew that that was like probably the point where I needed to improve the most, and that could be done most effectively without being with the team, because it's tough when I wasn't here in the spring and I wasn't here in the summer. So I knew that that is what I could do personally, and to come back in shape and just have a really good camp. Like, I knew this camp was going to be crucial to see where we were at and see where I was at and make sure I was on the right page. But I also knew behind the scenes, I think a lot of people are really surprised by my fellow receivers in my class and the people below me, but I've seen like how skilled they are and how well they know the playbook and like their progression this whole time. So I was never worried that it was going to be a depleted position group, because I knew Steve was going to step up. I could have told you he was going to have a game like that. Like, I've seen him work so hard. So, you know, I wasn't ever worried, but I definitely knew that I had larger shoes to fill after last year.
You had the highlight third down catch on that last drive, and you guys all had kind of a number of really big and athletic catches. But in a lot of cases, you know that if you run your route right, Chad's going to put the ball on the money. What's it like for a receiver to have a quarterback like that, and specifically Chad, who I think, you know, has been a bit overshadowed over the last year, year and a half? What makes him so special?
Yeah, it is the dream to have a a quarterback as a receiver that's going to put the ball where it needs to be when you run your route properly. I mean, it's kind of like he's like a robot, and it's so nice out there, let me tell you, and I'm sure all the receivers would echo that. But, yeah.
I mean, just what about, I mean, him, what have you seen his growth this year?
Well, I've seen him step much more into a leadership role than he was last year. I mean, despite the fact that he was a captain, but this year he's kind of like the captain, and he would single-handedly pull me in the spring and say, we are going to throw like right now. You don't have a say in this. We're going to throw. And that's kind of what I needed some days. Like, I might have been very sore from a lift or tired from two games the previous day, but, you know, when you have someone who's that passionate and wants it that badly and just kind of drags you, you got to go. And it's obvious that it is paying off. I mean, our chemistry is much better than it has been in the past, and he understands what I'm going to do, even like on some of the plays where it kind of goes unscripted after some scrambling drills. We're now so much more on the same page with that. So, yeah, he's taken a much bigger leadership role, and he's looking better than ever. It's fantastic. He's hardly making a mistake out there, and it's a dream.
Coach Suris has made a claim, you know, most coaches do, that you really see a big jump from week one to week two in the season, especially for you guys, knowing you're going to play a team that's already made that jump. When you look at film from the San Diego game, I mean, you a ton of receiving yards, you made the plays when you needed to, you scored the points and won the game, but how much do you look at that film and say, man, we can really get better?
A lot. Especially personally, I looked at that film and I made quite a few mistakes. That was by far the most plays I'd played in a football game. And I think by the end, some of my fatigue was wearing into me mentally. And so I made some, you know, dumb blocking assignments or ran a wrong route once or twice. And I think if you look, you go down the line, people are probably going to say the same things. I mean, it was a very exhausting game, hotter than I was used to, hotter than most people were used to. So there were certainly mistakes at all positions, and there's a lot of room for improvement, which is so promising considering I think that was a pretty successful game as a whole for our offense. So to still have room to grow and to start off on a good note like that is probably where exactly we want to be as an offense.
We're back now with Cody Kruschel, the voice of Princeton Tiger football, for a little past, present, future with this Princeton team. I thought during the season we could take each week one thing from the previous game that stood out, one thing that we are interested in and how they work on this week, and then one thing we'll be looking forward to in the upcoming game, hence the past, present, future. So, Cody, I'll start with you. I mean, there's a million things that probably can stand out when it's a season opener, but what was your big takeaway from Saturday's game?
I thought coming in, you know, we had talked about a couple of question marks, and I would say on the offensive side of the football, it was how do you replace guys like Frusciante and Osborne and Carpenter and Barnes, and how do you replace that production? And they certainly answered that question. 12 catches by Jesper Horsted, 6 catches by Steven Carlson, and not just 6 catches, 3 touchdowns, 3 big first downs. We saw the dynamic talent and dynamic aspect that Tiger Besh brings. Jordan Argue had 5 or 6 catches. So all of a sudden we're seeing, you know, Chad Kanoff can move on and can adjust with these new weapons. So I thought on the offensive side of the ball, that was really reassuring to see. And then defensively, the big question mark was in the secondary. We've talked about it for the second straight year. Guys that have graduated and all those starters from last year, probably the game MVP defensively, at least the Ivy League co-rookie of the week, was C.J. Wall, and that was one of the question marks. Opposite Chance Melanson, who's going to be that lockdown corner? And, you know, certainly some adjustments to be made, but I thought we saw a lot to like out of C.J. Wall, and he backed it up on the field. And that's one other piece that's falling into place. And you know, I think to kind of have answers to two of your big questions after the first week against a really good team, that's reassuring.
Yeah, I agree on both sides. My takeaway, and it, you know, not bury the lead, Chad Kanoff is special. He's just a terrific, and we've seen this before. We've seen him have games like this, but he directed that offense. He was in complete control. You know, he's a selfless player, and I think that, you know, everybody wants to be on the field all the time. He wants to get the ball in the red zone. I think he understood certainly why John Lovett came in as many times as he came in last year, because it worked. But this is his offense completely right now. And he directed it, you know,
He said he made a bunch of mistakes after the game. You know,
you have to laugh about that.
Right, like, you know, maybe one or two. And look, he'll watch the film. I'm sure there he knows a couple of mistakes. But I thought he played as good a game as we've seen him play. And from that position, that was just a fantastic performance and a really good first step kind of leading into the rest of the season. When you talk about kind of what you want to see from this team this week, this team was as balanced as you could be last year. If you look at the season-ending stats, first down totals were almost 50-50 between rushing and passing conversions. That was completely not the case Saturday. And look, if Chad Kanaf is your best offensive player, and I think he will be from start to finish this season, you want to give him as many opportunities as possible, but this cannot be a 70-30 passing offense. I don't think it has any interest in being that. So, you know, obviously the return of Charlie Volker, who we expect on the field Saturday, you know, the improvements you make on the offensive line, but this run game kind of has to be a bigger factor.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and I would say that makes what Chad Kanaf did last Saturday against San Diego that much more impressive. There was no run game. There were drives, and there were times in the game where everybody in the stadium knew that it was going to be a pass, and Chad Kanaf still goes out there and completes nearly 75%. So I think getting Charlie Volker back helps, and if there's a game to throw him back into the fray, this is a pretty good one for Volker, who was the team's leading rusher last year, top five in the Ivy League in rushing yards. If you look at Lafayette, this is a team that ranks 110 out of 122 in the FCS as far as stopping the run. And obviously last week playing Villanova.
Doesn't help.
A team that's seventh in the country. And then Bob Saray said, you know, you throw that team on the field last week, they probably compete with a lot of FBS programs. So, you know, certainly a tough challenge for Lafayette last week, but I think if you can get that balance going, that would make this team and this coaching staff feel fantastic heading into the Ivy League opener.
So one more week before that game, that's obviously the final Saturday in September, Columbia here at Princeton Stadium. But this is an interesting game. It's that final non-league game, final game before the Ivy season starts. Princeton will play Georgetown October 7th, but you know, we have seen historically that week one to week two jump. It's been noticeable every year, maybe until last year, when Princeton played a really good Lehigh team. I mean, that's a team that was fantastic all year and just defensively had no answers in that game. But
that's a team that won the Patriot League.
Right, and that was and that quarterback was, I mean, he was like Kanaf last week. But still, we have seen big jumps from week one to week two. So when you think about Saturday night's game, first road game of the season for Princeton, what's maybe one thing that you're looking for?
I think they just need to continue making adjustments, and we saw that from the first half to the second half last week, and a lot of it comes down to the youth that was on the field. We saw it in the first half, guys, for San Diego, their receivers were catching the football with a 6, 7, 8 yard cushion, and then we saw less of that in the second half. So I don't know if there's one specific thing. I think it's just trying to kind of hone in and tighten everything up. And, you know, Bob Saras has talked about it too, really continuing to build that depth. And I think you see it in non-conference play. There's going to be guys that we probably didn't see on the field last week that we're going to see out there this week, especially some spots at defense where they might be a little bit thin. So that's what I'm looking for, to kind of get the rotations, especially on defense, and see who's going to be an impact player heading into that Ivy League opener. This is a good preview for that.
Yeah, I was reflecting on Princeton has gone through the seasons that Lafayette, at least at this point, is going through right now. You know, first-year head coach, obviously Princeton's own John Garrett. Really tough start. 2010, Bob Saras is the new Princeton coach. Tigers go 1-9. And there were some games where they were in it the whole time, and you saw it in the fourth quarter. There was a real fight. There was a real effort, you know, just whether it was talent, whether it was injuries, they didn't make the plays at the end of the games. And then there were some games where it was just snowballed early. And it's not like a team quits, but you just lose confidence. And you start kind of looking around to say, well, what's going to happen next? And I think I'm looking for the first 10 to 15 minutes of this game. You're going to Lafayette, a team that's coming off a 59-0 loss, a team that is trying to get that first win, trying to get its head coach his first win. If you let Lafayette stay in that game, if it's a ball game in the third and fourth quarter, you will get the best of Lafayette. If you can get out to 14-0, 17-0, you might start seeing Lafayette look around and be like, here we go again. Here we go again. You have to it's tough to kind of put your foot down early, especially on the road, but if you get that opportunity, you want to see, can Princeton get it done? They did that at times last year. Can you put it down early and kind of make sure you have comfortable edge going into the second half?
And I think we've seen both sides of the coin as far as that's concerned this year for Lafayette. Last week, kind of an abnormality where they just get blown out from the get-go. And then you look at their first two games, week one against Monmouth, it was a one-touchdown game late in the third quarter. They were in that. And then they take on Sacred Heart, their home opener, 2 weeks ago. And Lafayette was up early in that one. They were in that game, and then Sacred Heart was just able to run away with it, and it was a 38-24 contest. So Lafayette's interesting because you look at most teams that have new head coaches, and they're teams with a lot of youth. You look up and down this Lafayette roster, defensively they have a lot of experience. The receiver core, they have a lot of experience. The running game, they haven't gotten anything going. They have a lot of experience, and then you look at the most important position on the field. They have a true freshman in Sean O'Malley. They have two true freshmen starting up front. So I could kind of see that going either way, and I think you're right. There's no amount of points early where if you're Princeton, you say, you know, okay, we have X point lead. I think we're okay. I think, you know, this is a team you need to, if you can get out in front, you need to try to bury them early.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like you said, not only do they have experience, but they have experience against Princeton. They have guys who came to Princeton Stadium last year in the season opener, played really well, receivers, linebackers especially. So it's a team that is going to go into that game believing, hey, this was a four-point game last year. We have a lot of guys coming back. They have some guys that they lost. I mean, obviously Princeton in that situation. So, you know, it will be interesting. 6 p.m. start. You can listen on 103.3 FM and tune in radio. Like I said, anytime you get out on the road, that final tune-up before Ivy play, it's always an interesting game. I'm certainly looking forward to it. Another guy who is looking forward to it is the new special teams coordinator for Princeton. I thought his unit did a terrific job in the first game. I mean, I think, and we talk about this in the interview coming up, Tiger Besh is exciting. He's going to keep fans captivated, and it would not surprise me if at some point this season he brings one back either on a punt or on a kickoff, but also, you know, Steve Thomas working with the inside linebackers, Mark Fassati, Tommy Johnson, terrific start for those guys, and then you know, gives you a brief look at Lafayette's offense. Let's hear now from Steve Thomas. Steve, let's start with the linebackers. Week one, you know, always a chance for you to kind of see them in action and build off of the film, you know, good and bad. So when you looked at, and let's start with Fassati and Johnson, the starters, what were your takeaways from Saturday and, you know, things that made you happy and then things that, you know, you can build on?
Well, both young men had terrific games. Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson, being first-year starters for the program, kind of walked into a role where they knew they had to fill the roles of Rohan Hilton and Luke Gutierrez. These guys did a great job in terms of pursuing to the ball. Our defensive staff looked at it and said these guys didn't take one play off. They accounted for almost 20 tackles, 20-plus tackles amongst both of them during the game. What they could improve on was they had a couple of opportunities that they passed up. Tom Johnson had a missed sack. Mark Fassati had a missed interception to close out the game. Those are little things that they can improve to make it an even phenomenal stat-wise for those guys. But after that, you know, they were just doing what we keyed them into, seeing keys on run game, seeing things on the pass. They're very cerebral players, and they have that skill set, that nose for the football. And we're building on those same things as we look this week into what Lafayette does and prepare for these guys.
You know, there are two guys that obviously played last year, you know, Fassati backing up and then, you know, Johnson playing the strong side position. But just how much can these two guys gain from that one game of full-time starting experience, playing next to each other, developing a little bit more chemistry? how much more can they grow? Because we've seen from week one to week two jumps that, that different guys, especially new starters, have made.
There's room for improvement. Both, like I said, like we reiterated earlier, both young men can improve on their technique, their skill sets, their basically their execution of their assignments. For Saadi, he can continue to grow with his chemistry with Tom Johnson is great. They've been working basically the Mike and Will position all training camp together. Now they're getting to know where everyone's going to be without even looking at each other. They can close their eyes. They can communicate nonverbally. All of that stuff they got going on together is making them that 1-2 punch in the middle that's really helping out our defense.
Bigger picture overall with the defense, you know, you faced a Peyton Award watch quarterback with San Diego. Obviously, you got hit a couple times. You know, the throwback got you for the touchdown. But overall, I had to feel like you felt pretty good about a bend but don't break style of defense over the weekend.
Absolutely. Anthony, the quarterback, he was a phenomenal player. We were able to move him in the pocket a little bit, but he showed much poise and was able to get the ball down the field. There's a reason why that young man had accolades and Walter Payton nominee and all preseason All-American honors. We threw things at him, but, you know, ultimately we tried to do our best in terms of making him beat us going down the field. You know, try to limit the deep threat and the explosive plays. But number 18, Anthony, he was a good quarterback. He was a great quarterback. Our defense did their job. They continue to just key on their keys and break on the ball and things like that, and ultimately worked out for us.
You took over special team coordinating in the off season. You know, there's a lot of areas of special teams. Too much to talk about in one podcast, but people love the return game. It can be such a spark, and we almost got a big spark from Tiger Besh on the one punt return right up the middle. Talk about him as a returner and how exciting it is to have somebody with his ability, you know, catching punts, catching kicks this year.
Tiger is a dynamic athlete. We've worked all through training camp just working on the fundamentals of blocking, creating space for the returner. Tiger knew what the scheme was going in. We were looking to just do some hold-up stuff to give him space. We said, Tiger, you have that ability to take one to the house. A couple guys missed their blocks here and there, and a couple guys got in the returner's path. We were about one or two blocks away from potentially springing one. But that's what Tiger brings to the field day in and day out. He brings that electric dynamic ability where he can make defenders miss in space.
Let's talk a little bit about Saturday, you guys' first road game of the season, 6 o'clock at Lafayette. Yeah, obviously it's a Lafayette team that's going through a new head coach, new system, had its struggles early in the season, but it's also a team with a lot of players back from a team that took you to the brink in the season opener last year, a really good, fun 35-31 game. Does it look like a team that just, you know, fine-tune this, you know, a little bit better of that, and all of a sudden it's back in games?
Absolutely. We prepare for every opponent on a week-by-week basis. We do not take what happened 2 weeks ago, last week, 3 weeks ago to Lafayette as what this opponent's going to be this week. We have to understand that we must execute what we want to do to have the great results that we want on Saturday. Lafayette, as you mentioned, is returning several wide receivers, several young men in the backfield. They have a new young quarterback. But that same team, their core is the same group of guys that we had a competition with last year. So we're not taking this team lightly at all. They're going to play very hard, and we're going to be looking for a battle on Saturday.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of The Original 11. A reminder, you can subscribe to all Princeton Tigers podcasts by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or your favorite podcast app, and you'll immediately get every edition of The Original 11, TigerCast, LaxCast, and any other podcast from the Princeton Athletic Department. Thank you for listening to The Original 11.